You know, we're going to move forward from today. We'll take one day at a time. I obviously will have discussions with our caucuses, with the Republican caucuses, with the people of Virginia. And as long as I feel that I can lead, I will continue to do that. If I reach a point where I am not comfortable with that, then obviously we will sit down and have that discussion.
Ralph Northam, the Democratic governor of Virginia, has so far refused to step down after a photo emerged from his 1984 medical school yearbook page showing one person dressed in blackface and another as a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
It started with me being presented a picture from a yearbook that I had never seen before that was horrific. And I reached out and apologized to my colleagues. I released two statements, as you know. And, you know, all I can do is what I've always done, and that's to be honest.
Northam at first said he was present in the photos. He later reversed that. Democrats have been calling on him to step down. The controversy comes as Democrats are both trying to maintain a principled stance on racism and are also close to consolidating power in the state that has slowly been turning more blue. Corey D.B. Walker is a professor at the University of Richmond. Hi, Corey, and thanks for joining The Takeaway.
Hi, Matt. I'm glad to be here with you.
Corey, what's your reaction to what we've seen in the last 72 hours in the Commonwealth of Virginia? And I'm curious your reaction not just to the Democratic governor's racist photos, but also what shocked me even more, the fact that a med school in 1984 allowed such photos to be published in a yearbook.
Just as a citizen of the Commonwealth and a citizen of the United States, I'm appalled at the not only at the photo, but also at the level of consciousness of the institution that will allow graduating medical students to take photos of that matter and then to publish them in the yearbook. Whether we find them funny or performative, the question that we have to begin to engage is, what type of medical institution would see this as something to be made fun of, particularly for individuals who are going out to practice medicine in a radically plural society?
Corey, give us some context here. The national coverage focuses on this one event, but as a native Virginian and a historian, how does it fit into the state's bigger issues on race and even issues in recent history on race?
I think anyone looking at the Commonwealth of Virginia and looking at our history will understand that this is a very fraught issue and goes to the very foundations, not only of this state, but also of this nation. When you think that 2019 becomes the year where we celebrate the 400th anniversary of the first enslaved Africans landing in English-speaking America, you're reminded that this doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens with a longer history of racial animus, a longer history of racial violence, and a longer history of anti-Black racism. When we just look at the contemporary moment, let's say the last 20 to 25 years in Virginia politics, we look at the candidacy and the campaigns of former Governor George Allen. Photos came out where he's meeting with prominent members of white supremacist organizations back in the 1990s. We look at Governor Allen again in the Macaca moment in the early 2000s when he's running for Senate. We look at the contentious senatorial campaign of 2012, looking at politics in Virginia in light of the Shelby decision in 2013. And of course, we're looking at this in light of Charlottesville. So when you take this photo, it's not just one instance. It's an instance of an incident that has built up over the course of time. And in Virginia, it is part of a deep and virulent divisive politics that has taken over the state.
Northam won in 2017 against Republican Ed Gillespie, partly because of African-American support. How do you think this story is resonating in Black communities right now across Virginia, who among people who may have voted for Northam or those who may have been wooed away from Gillespie to Northam? What is their reaction? What are their thoughts at this moment?
At this moment, it is really a betrayal. Over 80% of African Americans went for Ralph Northam, but these were pragmatic politics. And in terms of your choices, it's either Ralph Northam or Ed Gillespie, who's running an overtly racist and racialist campaign, particularly around immigration. You don't have really this full choice of candidates. But now when you have this come out, now they see that there is a choice. And that choice becomes the Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax.
Yeah, tell us about him. Yeah.
Bright, aggressive, assertive, and pragmatic and progressive politician who really has the ability to then move the state forward.
He's also a descendant of a slave. Is that right?
That's right. And he carries that with him. And when it comes time for our Republican counterparts to recognize and honor Robert E. Lee, Justin Fairfax took the principal stance, not only this year, but his first year in office, of stepping down from the dais to say that this is not right. So we're seeing a principal leader who is consistent in his principal stances. And when we look at the changing stories of Ralph Northam, you see these totally opposite responses. And I think it is the responses that we see from Governor Northam compared to the responses from Justin Fairfax that has so many people in the Commonwealth saying, let's move on from this. Let us have Justin Fairfax as the next governor. And we need to continue to work on this thing we call race, not only in Virginia, but also throughout America.
Following the publication of the photos, Democrats around the country have been calling on Northam to resign. It seems like Democrats are trying to take a principled stance in this case, and the stance is that their party will not tolerate this kind of racist behavior. And then in response, you've seen some conservatives reminding their supporters that Democrats are the party of slavery and the KKK. Is that historically accurate and relevant for this conversation?
Of course not, no. The parties have changed, and that line of argument to say that the Republicans are the party of Lincoln and the Democrats are the Dixiecrats, what we have are the changing configurations of all the party structures. There's no one static party that has always been for African Americans and no one static party that has always been to the advantage for African Americans. We saw African Americans starting to leave the Democratic Party as early as 1928.
Wow.
So when we hear those conversations in public, we need to begin to think, folks, let us contextualize this and let us be realistic about our contemporary moment. And of course, when you're looking at Ralph Northam, no one is taking Ralph Northam in isolation. This is also the same conversation that we're having with our Republican colleagues, of course, with President Trump. What we're seeing here is not a party issue. This is an American issue. This is an issue that goes to the very foundations of the nation. We still have a deep, unresolved issue on the question of race, and no one party is innocent in that conversation. And it's going to require an entire nation to deal with not only a 400-year history of it, but a history of race that has made the modern world.
Corey D.B. Walker is a visiting professor at the University of Richmond. Thank you for your perspective, Corey.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.